Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges, where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I'm your host, and today's quote is by Maya Angelou. We may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. Nikki Green is a life and business resiliency expert who has worked in international business industry for more than 20 years. Empowering young people to reach their full potential is her greatest passion. Nikki has worked with several notable C-level executives and top Silicon Valley companies. A four-time published author, she received double promotions in two different Fortune 500 companies and the Golden Microphone Award. I'm sure there's a lot more, but let's get to interviewing Nikki now. How are you, Nikki?
Hi, good morning, everybody. Great to see you today.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I left out a lot, I'm sure. So is there anything that you'd like to specifically draw attention to for our listeners today?
Well, I think it's great that we've gotten paired together because, you know, your show and what I do go perfectly. I help people get over their fears and find their right path in life, whether those are personal endeavors or whether those are professional endeavors. And it's been something that has always been a passion in my life because I had a lot of adversity growing up. And so it taught me a lot of wonderful things that I love passing on to the next generation.
That's wonderful. And I have a special place in my heart for those up and coming leaders as well. Do you have a good story from one of the people that you've been working with, maybe one of the students that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's really great to see this next generation and what's coming out of, you know, the difficult times of the pandemic and how they're overcoming that adversity. And I think like many of us, they learned a lesson that's really critical. And I think it's actually important that they learned it so young and that you don't just need to take the path that's been given to you. So many of us follow the I shoulds. I should go to this school. I should get this degree. I should go get this career. And then magically, right, everything falls into place, which has happened to no one. And the pandemic really gave us this chance to sit back, rethink where we're at, and evaluate if this is the right thing for us. And many of them are already pivoting. And it's a great time for them to do it because they don't have all these overhead expenses, you know, a partner, a house, kids, dog, whatever all the things are, right? And so I'm really just so happy to see them. And they have these just genius ideas, this knowledge-based economy and this creativity is, it's just leaps and bounds over what we've ever had before. And they have the ability to make it happen because there's such low barriers to entry to creating your own business and getting out there and following your passion. So there's so many stories I can't even like narrow down.
Oh, no, but I love what you're talking about because you're right. Sometimes, you know, we look at the things that are differences in different generations and different people, and that can draw attention to, you know, what you might not understand about someone. But I love pointing out how the differences are benefits and how they can really help people. And especially I have three of those up and coming, you know, I have three sons that are of that age. So I can't wait to hear more about what you're talking about today. Now you have a new book out, Chameleon Mindset book. And did you have any challenges in writing it? Or also want to hear about your biggest successes with it.
Yeah. So this is my third book, and the fourth book is right on its heels because of all kinds of scheduling issues that happened over the last couple of months. What else is new to life? But I wouldn't be a chameleon if I didn't adapt.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And it was really all throughout my career, people noted this about me. They're like, wow, you know, when difficult things happen, you just sort of jump right in and you help people get fixed and you help people stay calm. And I never really understood it. So I started really studying it, psychology and, you know, therapy and, you know, all these different kind of modalities. And so as I left my corporate career and I started wanting to come out and help people, I harnessed this specific thing, especially because I did my transition during the pandemic. And I saw two clear categories of people, the people that were paralyzed by the changes that were occurring to us and those that just went with the flow and figured out what was next. And so I really want to make more and more more people get comfortable with just being able to change and adapt and find the thing that's still true to them, not just adapting for the sake of, you know, blending in, but really, really making sure that as things happen to them, they're able to quickly make the right decision that matches with their values and beliefs.
That's so important in today's world. We're not going back to complacency. You know,
exactly.
More change and some more change on top of that. So I think this could be really beneficial. Now, I'm sure that the book has a lot of inspiration in it. So what inspires you?
Yeah, I love really writing, and I didn't think I would. And I talk about this often because when I was younger in school, although I was always top of my class, and my teachers never liked my writing, and it was not grammatically correct. And, you know, I missed the punctuation. I just didn't focus on those things. I was creating wild and elaborate stories, even in very basic English papers. And so my teachers always told me, you write like you talk, you know, and it's not proper, you know, English. And then I studied four more languages, and then I couldn't figure out one language from the other. So when I started writing, everything got really crazy. So as I started doing creative writing and building this new business, that was the first comment that people really gave me on my first book is, we love this book because it feels like we're having a conversation with you. It feels like we're really just sitting down with a friend, having a glass of wine, learning about their life and their stories. And so as I worked on Chameleon Mindset, I wanted to keep that going. Although, yes, this is a little bit more research-based and there's more, you know, theory and stuff behind it. There's still hilarious stories of my life and crazy things that have happened and the lessons I've learned, good and bad, through those things happening. And so just being able to be creative and tell those stories and, you know, make people laugh a little bit while they're also experiencing their own challenges, to say, hey, it's okay to laugh at ourselves a little bit so that we can move on to the next thing.
You know, I love that. And when you said that you had that critique of, you know, you're writing like you speak, I'm like, that's what they tell us to do. So this is great. You just knew it earlier.
Exactly. Earlier. I was ahead of the curve. It's fine.
So have you ever had like a really beautiful compliment from a client that warmed your heart?
Of that beginning part with my clients, you know, the whole journey is always great, but that first time getting to hear their stories and understand where their challenges are and just sitting there and listening. So often, you know, a lot of these coaches and, you know, internet gurus and stuff are jumping in with the sales pitch. And my first conversation is always the best because we're just getting to know each other and being that chameleon, being vulnerable, sharing what's really hurting or bothering us in our lives. And getting that glimpse at the goal of where they want to see themselves, but seeing that fear of what's holding them back. So for me, that is just this awakening moment where I know whether we're connecting and whether we're going to be able to work together and that I can help them. So it's always really exciting for me. And I love when they come back and they go, this was great. You know, I'm just so tired of the sales pitches. And then I don't want to work with them because I feel like I'm constantly getting sold to. I just want to, same thing as my book, have a conversation with the real person who's going to help me. Right.
Exactly. That, you know, that authenticity, we just want to be seen. We want to be heard, you know, with that exchange of, I feel you. I love that. That's wonderful. Now, you come from this corporate background. Do you want to share how you've used some of the lessons from that in what you're doing now?
Well, and this is what I talk about and what we also showcase on my podcast is no one's path is linear. The way you get there is building on all these different foundations. And, you know, I got a finance degree, very serious, you know, do all the accounting and T accounts and all this great stuff, started in financial planning, working with, you know, helping people through retirement, then went into corporate accounting, did all the things, but very quickly I was bored and I was just technically just like, okay, cool, you know, but then I started to see these challenges within some of these environments where the finance team didn't have the tools they needed to effectively do their jobs. So I actually started building roles that didn't exist. And that's one of the beautiful things about Silicon Valley and many of these emerging companies is I became an intrapreneur. So an intrapreneur is where you're using basically company resources to build your own kind of tiny business. And it was fantastic. So I said, hey, this tool doesn't work. Here's a better solution. I would come in with a business case and, you know, proposals, and I would get a virtual team to assist me with engineers and other finance experts. And it was fantastic. And so then I built this crossover, basically, you know, experience where I could do operational improvements, technical improvements, as well as stay financially compliant. And I built a whole career on it over 20 years, working at lots of different companies, and just grew my career leaps and bounds. But again, there was always kind of this upside where I was like, I'm missing this creative piece that I really want to get to. And so it's using those foundations of, well, I can build a business. Now I know how to build a business with my eyes closed, and I can help other people do it. But I also want to make sure that they're following their passion and they don't make some of the mistakes I made kind of early on in my career. So
Yeah, that can be really helpful. We have to learn from those mistakes and be able to move forward. So yeah, that's part of the chameleon mindset, isn't it? That flexibility. Tell me more about specifically about the mindset and what people might want to be, what might attract them to your book.
Yeah. So creative mindset follows five philosophies, common philosophies that a lot of people, you know, maybe know about independently, but we work on them together to talk about it in the case of adaptation and evolving your experience. So C is for creative adaptability. R is for risk tolerance. E is for evolving your law of attraction. A is for abundance and growth mindset. T, that's the ends of mindset. And then the last E is for emotional intelligence. And so by creating these five philosophies and blending them together, you understand where you sit at from a risk perspective towards that goal. You understand how to more strongly use your emotional intelligence to craft new responses to your environment to help change your cognitive and behavioral responses to what's happening. And then you adapt quickly. And you're always in a growth mindset where you're trying to learn, and you're there to help others and build your community. So it's these beautiful layers that weave together of these kind of independent philosophies, really on this focus of how do we adapt more quickly and know truly who we are so that those things stay in harmony.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a great model. You know, I love that as someone who spends a lot of time with change, you know, helping people to transition, I love the framework that you have there, because it's something that they'll remember and they'll be able to use over and over again. That's fantastic. Now, I suspect that you are like me, a bit of an optimist. Now, is this true? First of all, let me ask, is that true or no?
I am, absolutely. Every day I wake up and it's a new opportunity, no matter the challenge coming our way.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So how do you think that having a positive mindset helps us when it comes to setting and achieving goals?
Yeah, I noticed it and I felt the difference over my life. Because I grew up in such a difficult environment, I had this real scarcity mindset when I was leaving university and starting to work. And school often teaches us that too. We put ourselves against each other. Well, this student is better than that student. This one's getting 100 and that one's getting 98. And all of a sudden 98 is not good enough. And all these mindsets just put me in this place of like, well, I just have to take any job and then I'm just going to step on everybody to get ahead and do all the things. And I wasn't happy. I really didn't like it. And then people said, man, you're not fun to work with. And I was like, but I am fun. I am,
I swear.
And so I really had to start having this mindset shift. And I had some amazing mentors in my early career, which really helped me do my own inner chameleon search to be like, you're better than this. You can do this differently. You don't have to be against everybody. The more you can collaborate and bring out your true energy and nature, you're going to be so much more successful. And that transformation just set me on a whole path. And I was only 25, 26 at the time. And so it was just like night and day, you know, as I started really embracing that more positive, collaborative mindset and learning from others and sharing what I knew. So for me, that was just, I saw the other way and I knew it wasn't fitting me and it wasn't helping me in my personal life or my career. So,
right. Well, that's good. Let's, you know, we're starting with the positive. Let's go back a little bit. With the name of my show being From Fear to Fire, we have to kind of get to the heart of, has there been a fear or a challenge or something that you overcame? You alluded to having, you know, a little bit more of a challenging background, but you can choose anything that you want to share with our listeners that might inspire them, what they might be able to take away from it.
Yeah, there's some important stories about my life that I put in the first book, I Laugh in the Face of Danger, And so people can definitely go back and kind of read those. Those were some big milestone moments in my youth. But in the new book, Chameleon Mindset, I reveal a story that probably most people don't know, even that have known me probably for a very long time. So I'm an active athlete. I have been doing triathlons for a long time. One of my first businesses was actually hosting triathlons and coaching people there. And when I went to do my first triathlon, I was paralyzed by fear. Mm-hmm. I got in the water and I started the swim, which if anyone has ever done a triathlon swim, it's like being in a blender. It's not very fun. And even the strongest swimmers, you know, may struggle. I was living in Miami at the time and I got in the water and I just freaked out. I just couldn't do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I'm going to drown. And luckily they have lifeguards, you know, around on surfboards and things. So I swam over to the lifeguard and I held on and he goes, hold on just a second. And he took me just a little bit further out and he goes, put down your feet. And I was like, you know, we're 200 yards offshore. What do you mean put down your feet? And sure enough, I put down my feet and there was a sandbar there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it just allowed me to like regain my composure and, you know, get my heart rate down and figure out what was going on. I'd been in the water hundreds of times, in the pool, in the ocean. You know, my dad had a boat. We went fishing in Lake Tahoe. So I was like, why is this happening to me? And very quickly I realized I lost my uncle to a drowning accident in Santa Cruz when I was 8 years old. Mm. And even now I get choked up with the story. And so I wasn't afraid of the water. I was afraid of drowning. I was afraid of losing. I was afraid of all these things that were wrapped up in that emotion. And they just triggered in mm-hmm. the water. And it was something I could not control. And luckily, I calmed down. I finished the swim. I actually finished the whole race. I kept going over the whole thing. And so it was beautiful. The sun's rising over the water and I'm riding my bike. And I'm just thinking through all of these beautiful things and memories of my time with him. And I realized he was such an important mentor to me when I was younger because my father wasn't around. I would always have him on my shoulder in a race, his angel side and his devil side of, you know, just being funny and, you know, gregarious and just loving adventure of life and going after everything I want. And so this went from being this terrifying moment in my life to really just embracing every moment and going after really big things that I never thought I could do. And so it's a really one of my favorite stories and I really haven't told it until this book and until this podcast. So thank you.
That's great.
Letting me share.
It's a wonderful story, you know, because sometimes we have these panic moments and we don't know. You were able to in the moment of it, figure it out and not just figure it out, but use it to motivate you and keep you moving forward. I love that. So for those of you who are listening, think about how this might apply in your world. What can you use and transform from a negative or a fear or a challenge into something that might actually be able to serve you or others? Great story, Nikki. Thank you so much for that. So what's changed for you since you wrote this book or, you know, since the pandemic, whatever has been a massive influencer for you?
Oh, gosh, just this freedom. I really feel it now being in this community that I'm in with other entrepreneurs and just seeing the possible with the future. I was getting so disillusioned. And I know so many people feel this with their corporate careers. And I feel this huge shift about to happen with the way we work. And I'm so excited and I want to be a part of it. And so for me, it just really, it went from being a very low time for me. Before the pandemic happened, I got a new boss. He was awful. I knew I was going to need to leave my job. I then lost my apartment downtown Chicago. So I'm about to quit my job. I'm about to lose a place to live. So jobless, homeless. And I'm like, oh, cool. Pandemic. Let's do that. Yay. But that chameleon mindset just kicked in. And I was just like, you know what? We got this. And this is fate telling us we're supposed to be doing something different. We're not on the right path. And we need to start listening because if we're getting this extreme with like telling me we're going to lock you down in the house and you're going to think about what you want to do with your life.
Just sit there and think about it.
You're not going to travel. You know, I was on the road 2 to 3, you know, weeks every month. you're not going to travel. You're going to just get on your bike. You're going to ride through the cornfields outside of Chicago out of my boyfriend's house. And we, you know, just have time to think and process and not work, you know, 70, 80 hours a week. What do I want to be? What do I want to do? And for me, that transformation was everything. And now it's keeping that consistency, because being an entrepreneur, it's not easy, but keeping that mindset to continue adapting as the economy change, you know, hopefully the pandemic finishes, or, you know, and that's what many people I think are experiencing too, is what's the next thing, right? And not waiting for the next shoe to drop, but how do you throw that shoe in the direction you want it to go?
Right, to be proactive with the shoe. You know, you said something, and the order in which you said it, I want to draw attention to. You said, I was asking, what do I want to be and what do I want to do? And I love the order, because I personally think that we don't often spend enough time thinking about what and who we want to be. And then we'll know the right actions to do, to take, right? And so I love that you said that in the order in which you said it. That's great. So if you had to, as a resiliency expert, and you've got some listeners here who are sitting on the edge of their seat, and they would love like one takeaway that they might be able to either shift in their mind or an action that they can take to help them be more resilient. Do you have something for them?
Yeah. My advice always is one small step. It's so easy to get lost in these big audacious goals that, you know, we talk about, we make vision boards and, you know, there's all pretty pictures on it. And yes, do those things. You need the end goal. But, you know, having done many long endurance events, you don't go run a marathon tomorrow. You don't just walk out your door, you know, and start doing an Ironman. That's not how it works. And I actually relate these things in the book, but it's that first small step. It's that, let me buy some new shoes and make sure I'm ready, you know, to run. It's making sure that you're mentally preparing and researching, not just jumping off the cliff, although it seems like I do that often. But prepare yourself for these journeys and these small steps every single day, build up your confidence, and they make you confident that you're going on the right path and not just jumping off that cliff. But I can see one step in front of me. I take that step. Tomorrow, I can see the next one more clearly. And that's how you can overcome the fear, not looking so far in the distance that you're terrified, but just making sure the ground is solid before you.
Oh, that's a wonderful tip. Thank you so much, Nikki. Now, as listeners are thinking, gosh, I'd like to get the book, or I'd like to learn more about how to connect with Nikki, can you share how they might be able to do that now?
Yeah, I have a personal site that has one link to rule them all, so you can find everything you might want to know about me. So at thenikkigreen360.com, you can check out my books, you can check out my podcast, which is a free resource. Obviously, follow me on social, watch me dance on TikTok, whatever makes you happy. But you can also text, call, email, book a call with me. So anything that you want there is thenikkigreen360.com. And Chameleon Mindset lands on Amazon February 22nd, and lots more exciting stuff coming with that book following that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And we'll make sure to put those links into the show notes for everyone to make it nice and easy for them. So did it not fly by? 30 minutes it goes really fast, doesn't it, Nikki? So it's time.
I love it.
It's time for those final parting words of wisdom. What would you like to make sure that you leave people with?
I just want people to dream big and start small. There is so much opportunity out there. Don't listen to all the negative news and the things that might get you down. Stay in that positive mindset, surround yourself with good people, and I know you can do it.
Awesome. Beautiful. Very uplifting. Thank you so much, Nikki. And for those of you out there who love this show, and maybe you know somebody out there that could use a nice, uplifting, positive message about resiliency, share the show with them. We love that. And we love your reviews. Thank you so much, and wishing everybody a beautiful day.